Well, let me hear you say mountain, mountain, mountain.
Fire, what you saying?
Yes, fire key. Give thanks to life every time.
No, seriously. We are here again, Ballhead and the Dread Podcast. We give thanks for everyone tuning in from those times till now. Fire, what reason about today?
Well, today we are talking about the concept of neocolonialism, how it's alive and well across the world. And we are going to put some main focus on one thing really in the media now, the whole concept of Israel versus Palestine, which is what everyone is talking about. But so we just want to break down a couple different things. I really want to show people this concept of World War III would seem like a far-fetched thing. I really want to tell you it's active already. As far as we can tell, because the whole thing of World War is like most people always await upon the same media for classify the wars them and the same colonial countries to classify the war. But I can tell you that with all of these atrocities going on today, these are more severe than what was going on back then. And a lot of these different things are now being exposed to the forefront. So I want to break down the concept, you know?
And one, I want to say, give thanks for social media. Because social media has kind of been the saving grace for the masses for information. Because if you just watch mainstream media, how this has been depicted in the word usage, the headlines always say Israel Hamas. You get what I'm saying? So it shapes your mind already because Hamas is not a country.
Mm-hmm.
Or they say, you know, they keep referring to as this terrorist thing and this and that. But it's like, you're not killing terrorists. You're killing citizens.
Civilians.
civilians.
Mm-hmm.
You're killing children. You know, so I just want to say give thanks for social media because now at least there's a median where people can get information. Yes, there's some skewed information on social media, so we don't want to say it's totally correct. But within this situation, it is giving a balance to the false narrative that's being presented on mainstream media about this situation, you know?
Yeah, I really to me and check it still because I want to tell you, say, me da look on CNN and me da read BBC and all of these popular US media sources. Really break down the concept is like, they don't dive into anything. First and foremost, you try to figure out what is this war going on between Israel and Palestine, right? There's nobody that breaks down this war between Israel and Palestine.
Key
again,
strategy, far right.
So again, and then you realize it's a partisan type of conversation. And remember, you know, even though the media houses have a duty, according to them, have a duty to inform the people. But how will the media houses inform you of something outside of the norm when the agenda of Israel suits the agenda of the United States of America? They will never ever go outside of that and bridge the gap because they don't want to be a target. So that's the first thing where people need to overstand to the full extent.
Farai, before you continue, right, two things I have to touch on. One is that along with supporting the agenda, the finance is far right, all right? You mm-hmm. can't go look out against these people when they're the source of your financial survival. Mm-hmm. In regards to, what's the last part you just said? Oh, man. Speaking out. I've been reading a lot of stories where people are being penalized, not just in the media, far right, but for their private jobs.
Yeah, man.
For having a different view from the employer or the manager.
Yep.
So I'm not sure where this thing is leading right now because, you know, a person, if you're not giving 100% support to Israel and you say you're with Palestine or have a view that differs from the mainstream narrative, you're being terminated from your job.
Yeah, because the jobs them know, where the job them are the jobs, both the jobs and the school, something I know directly, they're sending out messages to employees and sending out messages to students with that perception of that these people are the enemy and these people are the allies. So and there's clear messages now. And I know of even a case where a student even questioned that narrative and then there's a follow up addressing that narrative, but not addressing the narrative in a sense of, okay, I wasn't aware of this, but addressing the narrative of, okay, this is what it is. And I'm sorry if this message offends you. Can you see what really I go on? People not understand what really take place in a fire because to date, the man they mentioned, say, there's approximately 10,000 people who dead in this war. But nobody never even look upon you and tell you, say, okay, the population of Palestine then is a little bit over 50% of children, which is 18 and under. And then the death rate of children is surging approximately 5,000%. Sorry, 5,000 deaths. So if me meds that right off the top, no, 50% of death that are children. So how can we justify that? And then on top of that justification now, the House of Representatives just passed a bill, approved a bill for 14 point something billion, 14.3 billion, I think, in aid of Israel. So when we think about the concept of that now, you're basically telling me, all right, even if I don't agree with this concept, even if I know that this is modern neocolonialism to the fullest extent, I'm technically supporting this because my tax dollars, which I don't have a say in where it goes towards the aid of this. And then on top of that now, you have all of these Israeli politicians and Israeli representatives who blatantly, come out to the forefront and mention that they plan to exterminate. These are words used by politicians. Not it's not about, you know, most time politician talk, it's always like an indirect speech. But now these people straight to the point and bold. The word extermination, eradicate. You know, these are them words and the normal words, you know, extermination, eradicate. And then up to yesterday, you know, I read again where one of the minister of culture from Israel mentioned that probably one of the way to eradicate and get rid of this whole conflict with Gaza is to approve and let go a nuclear bomb in Gaza.
And I know people don't like this terminology and they think it's over the top, but I think a representative, a female Sistren out of Michigan was telling Biden how this is obviously, he's supporting genocide. Mm-hmm. Other people have been putting the words out on genocide, right? When we hear about genocide, a lot of times we think about it as some evil, spooky person. They go to Hitler, right? That's their mm-hmm. default. They go to Hitler. And then understanding these genocides takes place because there's a unified psychology from the masses that supports a certain behavior. Now, if we break down what's going on over there, right? Millions of people have been displaced, meaning that I don't know where they're at. They can't be at their home area because of the violence, right? No access to food. No access to water.
At the hospital.
Along with the constant barrage of bombings. Now, I guess this would be, I know you have absolute war, but I think this would be categorized as total war. And I think I read a quote where the brethren was saying how they're not sparing nothing and they just doing what they're doing. But
blatant.
Right, that can't work. As a human being, you get what I'm saying? Because when you're dealing with military now, I thought it's military against military. Not military against civilian, not military against citizen.
And man, it's an unfair game, you know. So it's a game we play this way, right? The whole concept, let's break down this whole concept of a terrorist. A terrorist is basically a person who is an enemy of US, of the United States of America. Let's make that clear. It's not about the act that you do. It's about being the enemy and anyone that goes against the philosophy of the United States of America. So essentially, they cannot be classified, regardless of the acts that are carried out by the U.S., they cannot be classified as a terroristic thing because the terrorist is just whoever is anti-American. Why you feel like, say, is the same Israel and the same America will never join the ICC, the International Criminal Court, because them don't want to be caught up on international criminal crime, war crimes.
Facts.
Because them know, say, if they join the International Criminal Court, all of those war crimes will come back to bite them. And this is what is...
What about domestic war crimes here in America?
Them all get called up on that too.
That's what I'm saying. It's just like, you know.
And them know that, especially with the whole run-ins, even with George Bush, both the father and the son, to them know that there's charges awaiting them. Previous charges awaiting them from the International Criminal Court, so they're not going to join that because they're already aware of what is being done for you. When you think about all the money, like Israel, Gaza, and Palestine, as them call it right now, is the biggest open-air prison in the world, you know. The fact that they don't have access to water, they don't have access to hospitals, they bomb them universities. Yeah. And then, on top of that, there was a clear message, all right. They sent out a clear message. Israel sent out a clear message saying, all right, whoever is not a part of the war, flee to the south. these people, a lot of families, flee to the south. While fleeing to the south, there's videos of these families being killed they don't have a gun, they don't have a knife, they must flee into the south. There wasn't any shout, there's no call. So it's blatant genocide, blatant murder. And what we really want to show people is that we even talk about the concept of this World War III thing. It's not like, say, Israel and Palestine alone, this thing are going. This thing are going right around the world right now. You know, how comes you hear a different narrative about the other day when time? Because it's Russia.
Yeah.
Where you hear about the whole Ukraine situation. Yeah, we know it's unjust.
Take over fire. This is the thing. I want to touch on this, right? When we talk about colonialism, I think people's minds default to either two things I notice when we talk about it. It's not funny, but two things I notice when we deal with colonialism. They either think about Columbus on some boat or they think about some militant black person.
Right?
Not understanding these modern times. Let's run down colonialism now. We have Israel trying to take over northern Palestine, right?
Mm-hmm.
Take that right over. I don't know, what's the plan? Make it a military zone or something, a military base? I'm not sure what the plan is. Russia, Ukraine, invasion, right? Jamaica with the Chinese, even though it's not a use of violence, it's a use of economics.
Yeah, that's a new war.
People not preying this Jamaica thing too tough. I know we spoke about it before, but that's a form of colonialism. Congo, colonialism. Many other African countries, because what you have now is disruption, and you're going to have you taking over the land and displacing the people.
Mm-hmm.
It's the same formula. It's the same concept. But I think now, even though we do have the social media, their control of media is even stronger because the average person not going to hear nothing on Al Jazeera or other things. They're just bombarded from Fox, CNN, ABC, NBC, CBS. Maybe they watch a person on YouTube that's aligned with Fox, CBS, the same narrative. And it's so bad now when you hear something different, it's like you're the weirdo or you're the militant one or you're not seeing it properly.
Well, I don't know other thing. So everybody,
Even us right now, a person will listen to us and be like, we're talking pure foolishness.
Yeah, because it's out of the norm, it disrupts the whole status quo now. I didn't even mention Congo. I don't even want to skip over this whole concept of Congo because I know that the whole Israel and Palestine is the mainstream. And then before that, it was in the mainstream, it was Russia and Ukraine, which is still going on.
You don't hear nothing about that again.
And then we hear about the whole concept of what that take place with North Korea and these different countries. But it seems like the whole invasion where take place and the colonialism where take place in Africa is something we often overlook. And I think one of the main reasons, it's my opinion, why it's overlooked is because that's expected.
So that's expected, I think, because it's black people.
Yeah, so the rape cares, in Africa, you know? Like a norm. It's almost like a norm now. Because right now, Tony Manama bleed Congo for this cult and for support all of these iPhone launches and all of these different things. It's almost ludicrous when you think about it. And you talk about Jamaica, but a key thing we want to mention about even the invasion of China, how China invade Africa too. It's talking about countries like Kenya, Uganda, and the eastern, especially the eastern part of Africa. How them control all of the roads, them control all of the bills, them, and get policies in return, land grants in return.
I heard there's a lot of mixed babies out there now, this Ugandan Chinese-looking children now.
Of course. Is a whole takeover take place in the boy. I think most people overlook it. But I think the Chinese more smooth. I think the Chinese, they're more smooth. Them create almost every single thing that exists in the world right now. And then two, they're more smooth with it.
They don't use force. They use the economics under the guise of support for that particular country.
Very wise.
You know, and they build up infrastructure while they do it there too. That benefits them, but under the guise that it benefits the country.
So which country can operate without infrastructure?
You know what I'm saying? So they're there hustling. They know how the thing go already, and they just slide in and take over things. And I just want to drop one more incentive to demonstrate colonialism in Jamaica for those who don't believe. Yes, their main things like the road, right? But you know what I thought was so wild is that the non-tax for Chinese people opening businesses in Jamaica. How do you compete? I don't know if it's for a year or for 18 months, but regardless of the duration, I heard they just bring in a cousin and start it all over. So you have a business operating in an area where you're not paying taxes. But how can a local person compete with a person who doesn't pay taxes?
I know, say, you mentioned that. You bring something to my mind. Because I did a whole list reasoning off here with a bridge the other day. And I really think this is more of a message. So this is a message to the people them right now, right? Reason why that can even happen, I really want the people them to do them research. In Jamaica, you have a very powerful society. And when you do the research, you will check and come back and tell you what the impact of that society is. It's called a Chinese Benevolent Society. The Chinese Benevolent Society is a very powerful society in Jamaica. And anything regarding to import, export, them have some form of role to play with that too. So I really want the people them to do that. And I think one of the next part is that it shows, say, organization will always beat disorganization. And that is one key and crucial thing where we realize with this whole near concept and near colonialism and
we're totally disorganized.
The organization where them have, it make them rule and can conquer everything.
And I want to say two different aspects, right? Yes, we have to acknowledge that many times we are disorganized, mm-hmm. right? And we don't have that support system that we need to fight off attacks economically. But then we have to acknowledge where outsiders create the division.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so it's kind of twofold. We struggle with organization across the board, across the world, through self-hate, not trusting your brother and being indoctrinated. But also we have to acknowledge that the role powers play in regards to that divide and conquer. Supporting one side, supporting one group, supporting one government. Mm-hmm. And they just have this friction. And while you're there bickering, they're there taking. And it's the same, mm-hmm. that's what's wild, it's like if you study indigenous history, the concept hasn't changed or the strategy hasn't changed. It's more modern, it's more sophisticated, they have more tools now, but it's the same strategy, divide and conquer.
Well, you know, see, the perfect example of the same strategy is this going back to this whole Israel and Palestine thing, yeah. Because if you think about it, the Holocaust is something still fresh in a people's brain.
Yeah.
So if you want to think about it, what Hitler did, very gruesome thing, very fresh in a people's brain, because World War II was from 1933 to 1945, and then you think about the Holocaust where really take place at its peak, you know, 41 to 45, and around 6 million Jews dead through the Holocaust. But you think about the new face of this thing now, is it a case where the Jews that were, the Zionists, as they would have called them, to same way, that were granted that land by the UK and the United Nations in 1948 for create the state of Israel, is it a case that they're planning to create a new Holocaust, all in the name of Zionism against the Arabs? So in a whole heap of different aspect and a whole heap of different stratosphere, you have to think about the thing, you know. So it's almost like everything start reinvent itself, but it reinvent itself. It's like a different wheel where you start the same wheel. I might even want a different wheel. It's the same wheel, but you start put some different painting on it, and you start thinking it's a different wheel. But in truth and in fact, the same exact thing over and over and over again. It'll keep this car moving. It'll keep this vehicle moving. It's just a different type of way where it starts shape out and start look different. After a time, you put 10 layer of paint on it, it look different to people over there. So,
yeah.
And everybody now realize that the same wheel we are on. And most, that's what I'm telling you, most human beings, it almost seemed to me like human brains programming in a certain light. While the Holocaust was taking place, everybody was so sad that they were the particular target. Now them get themselves in a particular position. Now them want to inflict that pain and that wound upon somebody else. It's like human beings it's almost like programmed for say, okay, I want to be in this position of power. I don't want to be the one who that pain is being inflicted on. I want to inflict the pain. And it's not like everybody wants this whole conflict and tension across the world for end.
And I want to touch on one more thing before we stop far, right? And I want people to do this when they hear these things. We have to put things into context in regards to who's doing the particular act.
Mm-hmm.
So many times it's like Israel, and they take on the whole country or everyone affiliated with them, and that's not the case.
Mm-hmm.
You know, yes, you have many people who do support it, you have people who don't support it, but they're not the ones in the position of power to push these actions forward. Mm-hmm. And I think sometimes we generalize and we put the citizens with the politicians.
Mm-hmm.
You get what I'm saying? And I think people need to have that understanding when we talk about politics and we talk about things that are being done. And one more thing I want to let the people know is that when you hear the news, right, put on your thinking cap. Because the news, as you explained earlier, they don't break anything down. They'll give you headlines to put these ideas in your head, but they don't break it down. Because if they broke it down, it wouldn't make any sense. So they constantly hit you with sound bites.
Mm-hmm.
So you either have to take time to do a little research or you just need to pause. Because I hear people saying these sound bites. That's all I hear. They're saying these little sound bites about the situation. They don't clearly understand the situation. Mm-hmm. And they themselves now are being used as a tool to spread the propaganda that they want to spread.
Because
you're repeating what they told you.
Mm-hmm. Same way, so.
You know?
See me, so we think about it, but it I know the funny part to it, because there is something funny, real funny, when you think about it. There's two main things, right? So one, I was watching the news recently, and a representative of Israel mentioned that, oh, of course, the destruction of Palestine is, this is their words, that this, of course, the destruction of Palestine is the main reason why we're doing this. And then it take them 10 seconds. For you know, much if you do make a statement and take a 10 second for realize yes or something.
Yeah.
And then they ring out the statement and say, of course, the destruction of Palestine is not. Yeah. And then try to expose. So I mean, I say, sometimes the truth come out same way.
Big time, yeah.
And I think people need to pay attention to the truth to really come out and don't make the truth come out and you still get caught up with the lies. Because there's one thing where the media good at, you know. It's making a good man look bad and making a bad man look good, you know.
Yeah.
Because them have the different alternative, them have the different means, and them have the enforcers for do that.
Big time.
So I really want to talk about this enforcers to where the system have, you know. Who are these enforcers? The enforcers are even the very people who watch it, because they say this propaganda thing is not a normal thing when it comes to war, you know.
Big time.
And when propaganda connected to war, it almost like, it almost like it's a burning. It's like them, you know, the dry fire them go on a Canada, it just spread. And that's how them have new recruits to kind of enforce and keep them system functioning. And you don't want to be that person who keep the very system where you complain about functioning by supporting bad habits, supporting genocide, supporting war, supporting criminal activities. But overall, you mentioned that you are a person who don't want to see war and don't want to see criminal activity. So you have to be careful how much you support colonialism. Think about the forms of colonialism where take place. Think about the forms of war crimes where take place. And see what going on. And the next thing is to, you see, this capitalism thing where we keep on the top again. Them benefit a whole heap off of that, no, because right now, at an all-time high, knowing that weapons are being sent from US to Israel, who will benefit?
Yeah.
When there are more guns and more weapons of mass destruction have to create. Now the companies them are benefit against, you know, it's a profit increase. Why do they care at all?
Yeah.
Yeah.